Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We're covering Married at First Sight, Season 11, Australia, by the way, Episodes 29 through to 32. Now, we're nearly at the end there. Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave. Well. You're right. We're getting near the end. These bunch of bellends, and there's quite a few of them. You know, the Dave Horrocks Bellend of the Week Award. We haven't done it for a few weeks. I'm just giving it to all of them because one way or the other, they're all just pissing me off. So Sarah and Tim, Dave. Sarah has made this holier-than-whole comeback. She's now got the halo above her head. She says three Hail Marys now. She wants forgiveness. She's now this absolutely amazing partner for Tim. And Tim's there, fucking dopey Tim. Oh, yeah. Don't, it's my wife. Don't speak to her like that. No, she's a fucking faker. And as much as I want to talk about Jaden and that in a bit, he calls her out at the commitment ceremony. He's like, no one's buying this fucking bullshit. No one's buying the fakeness. But because there's a sort of redemption, Jaden hasn't got a voice like he had in the past, even the week from the week before. But I'm sort of with him, Dave. I'm like, she's fucking bullshitting. And Tim, you are an absolute fucking wet lettuce if you think this is real or that she is now this absolutely, you know, she saw this come to Jesus, mum, I really repent all my sins. Bull fucking shit, Dave. So that started the week off for me and it went worse as the week went on. So what do you think about them two absolute, and I'm putting Tim as a bellend, Dave, always a nice bloke, yeah, but he's an absolute knobhead for putting up with this.
I'm going to mostly agree with you, but a slight caveat that actually he's not as dopey as he comes across, and yes, he's just sort of playing it to stay on screen for a bit longer and get more followers and stuff. Maybe that's his game, but I mean, she's so see-through, isn't she? It's utter nonsense. And the thing is, she has utter contempt for him. Until she goes full on, you know, into the, like say, maybe she's been watching the Sound of Music or something. She's got all of those, you know, the nun-like qualities that she suddenly come out with. She's just really putting it on. But then as the week went on, you know, because on the commitment couch, she's giving it, oh yeah, really, I'm gonna make the effort and this, that, and the other. Tim tries to speak up and she's like, no, just, I've not finished yet. But then when they go on their kind of final date, Chris, I was fucking riled up, I must admit, because the way she speaks to him is really fucking disrespectful. And she just doesn't let him finish what he's speaking and what he's saying. And he was trying to say, like, he was trying to bring it up because obviously they brought in his mate. And actually, you know, his mate's a bit of a tool, isn't he? But in that moment, yeah, I kind of felt like it needs someone like him. And even the fact you could see with him, he went from, you know, being a bit of a knob for TV, you know, that's the character I'm going to play up. I'm going to try and get my 5 minutes of fame as well, to genuinely being a little bit concerned about what was kind of going on there. And then it did make Tim think. But then when he tries to actually talk about it with Sarah, she's like, oh, but we've talked about this. You know, why yeah, we can't move on if you just keep bringing it up. It's like, well, no, we haven't really talked about it. Well, I've said I'm sorry. You know, what else is there? And honestly, it was really fucking triggering. I was really getting wound up by it. And Chris, she's just horrible. It's just so clear. But, you know, like I say, I'm kind of, part of me is hopeful that Tim kind of knows it and can see it, but mostly I think he's just happy getting his knob polished.
I don't know whether he's, Dave. I think he's polishing someone else's by the sounds of it. But yeah, genuinely, I think you might be right. Maybe he's just low-key just doing what like people like fucking Tori, and we'll talk about her, Dave. she is my bell end of the week. But I think he maybe is just low-key just after that influencer status, because he wouldn't put up with that. And his mate's right. You know, his mate's got a fucking top mullet.
He is a bit
extravagant. He's a bit niche, shall we say. Well, yeah, dick, basically. But he isn't afraid to tackle her. And she, you can see that when John and that, and it's mainly been John who's gone at Sarah, but when John's gone at Sarah, she will not be held accountable. Every time she's been called out, and times where she's turned around to him and goes, we'll talk about this later. You know, like it's some kid in detention or something getting a bollock, and the mum's like going,
wait till we get home.
You know, like the kid's been kicking shit out of someone, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, wait till we fucking get home. You know, and that's what it's like. She's very, very manipulative. She's very controlling. She cannot self-evaluate at this point in her life. And I wasn't buying all this fucking bullshit. All they needed to do with her, the way they produced this, was have her running through a field with a load of bunnies running around her, Dave, in some long flowing dress, like she's fucking her hair flowing, and she's, I'm a different person now. No, you're not. You're a liar who's got rumbled. And what everyone said the week before is true. If this hadn't have come out, you would have carried on taking the piss, having your little dirty weekends with your supposed abusive ex. Don't really believe that, Dave. I think that it was the other way around. She's absolutely a maniac. Tim's going to get what he deserves, the way he's... And that's when he was doubling down on it. And then the experts were just buying that shit, weren't they? Oh, yeah, it's great. Until Jaden laid into him. And even they didn't back Jaden. They were just sat there going, this is shocking. Well, no, it's not shocking, John, because you were saying this the week before. I do find... there is a lot of inconsistencies with the experts at times, Dave. These people that they'll go in on, and then these other ones who are so obvious that they just stop. Well, it's a production thing. I don't get it. But Sarah's not being truthful. Whatever. If she loves her ex, then she should just get with him. But we've seen this before. We saw it with that Beck, didn't we? Where that Beck, whatever she was called, where she went home, something happened with one of her animals, and the next minute the videos are copping off. Apparently with a brother, Dave, which does happen in certain states, I believe, around the world. But it was bullshit. Another faker on a reality show. And we're calling it out. We love the show, but we're calling this fucking horseshit out, Dave. So, yeah, so that started the week off with me in a bad mood watching these idiots.
So, I don't think I'd let any bunnies around her, to be honest. I'd be fearful for them. It'd be a bloodbath and Watership Down style. So, I don't get it. So if Jack had have said the exact same things that Sarah said, then the experts wouldn't have bought it. But for some reason, 100%. they buy it from Sarah. Whereas it is plain as day, isn't it, how it comes across? And I guess, you know, we cling on to this idea that this is all reality TV and it's not massively manipulated. And I do feel like, you know, you do see people's personalities, you know, it's manipulated by the producers, but they don't, you know, it's not scripted. So, you know, you do see people's personalities come through, and I stand by what I say with Sarah, massively fucking manipulative and, you know, Tim, run for the hills. Honestly, if you're not playing this extra game, you know, that you're just trying to stay on there for extra screen time, then you're in for a torrid time.
It's true, Dave. And the start of the week, we lost two couples, Dave. So Tristan and Cassandra, nobody really cares. That was bullshit anyway. They had the whole fake I love you thing the week before, and we saw her writing down leave. That was the biggest manipulation I've seen. Still sticking by what I said about Cassandra. So they've gone, you know, and
I kind of felt bad, you know, because there was no real resolution to that. Other than, you know, this didn't work out. But we said about Tristan, the way he comes across, you know, he's got real kind of self-worth type issues. And basically the way it ended, it ended up being a self-fulfilling prophecy, didn't it? I mean, there was no point for that extra week. No point at all. They didn't do anything. You know, by the time they come to, you know, part their ways, it is just like a mate. You know, the way Tristan was with her, it was like a mate that he just met on, you know, spent a week together on holiday. You know, when you meet people on holiday and then you're like, oh, yeah, we'll definitely stay in touch. And then you never speak to them again. But
yeah, you know. Yeah. Give them one digit out on your mobile number. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give us a call anytime. Yeah. See ya.
But, you know, we all do it because in that moment, you think, oh, we've had a great time, you know, here, wherever we are on holiday. And, you know, that's how he kind of was with Cassandra, I felt like. And it's like, fucking hell. So quite often, if the couples don't work out, you like to see that someone's learned something, someone's grown a bit. I just don't feel like Tristan has got anything out of this experience at all.
No, and that you're true, actually. I hope there's some sort of support for him because he is emotionally unstable, isn't he? The problems he's got through his life, the body dysmorphia and stuff like that, that's not going to be resolved, especially on a TV show. I mean, I hope he looks back at what Jack did and go, fuck me, he was an absolute clown. I just got manipulated there. You know, giving someone a protein voucher is fucking disgusting. And I'm not just to lay into Jack, just the whole, his whole journey. Tristan has just been so up and down. The first episode, he seemed such a good guy. And I think he's a good guy. I think his heart's in the right place. Cassandra, I said last week, she's a plant. I think there's something off there. However, she seemed like a really nice person. The family seemed nice. So I don't know where they go, either of them, to be honest, Dave. They weren't offering anything, were they? They're not offering the drama the producers want. So it's sort of the right time for him to go, really. So, yeah, I just hope he gets some sort of closure or he meets somebody who loves him for him. You know what I mean? And then, you know, and he can go through life and see that he's worth something, because I think he's got real low self-esteem, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cassandra will do all right, to be honest. You know, she's played that character. And I think it, you know, it comes across to me like at least 90% authentic. You know, that horrible kind of tragic backstory. You know, and you could really kind of empathize with her position. I feel like she was in at the start. Going back to the start, though, it did seem like a bit of a mismatch, didn't it? You know, their energy was completely misaligned, it felt like. But you know, she was saying that she was all in, so I don't know. I think she'll do all right after the show.
But yeah, I think she will. And then we lost Richard and Andy, Dave. Andy, he just needs to go back on his Harley Davidson, I think, and have a fucking long hard look in the mirror. What a strange couple. I called her out last week, but I think I was probably a bit too harsh. It's more on him. He's just, I said it before, he's so immature and just ridiculous, isn't he, some of his things. So I think that was definitely the right call for them to go. And he did, you know, he's nice what he said. You know, I had a great 10 days and that. So he's sort of questioning, well, what sort of life has he had? But it just wasn't the right thing for them to at all.
Yeah, I mean, we make predictions, don't we? You know, right at the start, we're like, oh, yeah, these will get on well or these won't or whatever. I've got to say, right from the first episode, there was something off about him, and I just haven't wavered from that position at all. He's pining for this kind of holiday romance they had at the in the first week, and everything that was hard that came after that. Or not hard.
I think the hardness started in the first week, if you believe what he was selling us, Dave. I think it was quite flaccid after that. That's what I think you get tablets for that.
So was it when it got harder, or was it not the opposite? I don't know. But
maybe it ran out of steam, Dave. I don't know.
You see,
he's not a bit premature, I believe. we all remember American Pie Day. But anyway, carry on. Sorry. Go on.
It's as if, you know, he was pining for that holiday romance, that first week, and everything else that, you know, was more difficult later on. He wasn't interested in that. It all went downhill from there. And I think it's almost like a Tristan kind of way where it became this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, because he kept saying, you know, he can feel it. He can feel Andy kind of pulling away. And it's like, it's because you were shooting your mouth off. It literally turned on a dime, didn't it? When he was shooting his mouth off on the commitment couch, And, you know, like, why would you do that? Unless you, you know, you're not a fucking 16-year-old boy or something bragging to your mates. It was just fucking weird. And I just don't like him. And I just hated the fact that, you know, they were just talking on completely different planes. And he just kept going on about her trauma. And, you know, he wasn't actually listening to anything she was saying. So, yeah, I just... Again, I don't know what he'll take out from that, because as far as he's concerned, I'm not sure he's done anything wrong. And so, you know, as far as he's concerned, you know, the first week was great. And then because of Andy's trauma, you know, she's pulled away, and then that's it. I'll start again somewhere else. But just very fucking weird. And, you know, with all of these shows that we've covered over the years, Chris, the Bachelor, Love Island, all of them, you know, whenever a fucking person comes up and they're a motivational speaker, I can't help it, but I'm just thinking, oh God, you know, yeah. Well, what are you going to be like? You know, and sure enough, I don't know what, I can't see him in that role. Like, I remember there was a guy on The Bachelor, and you're thinking, yeah, okay, I can get it. You're in that kind of Tony Robbins mold. I'm pretty sure, you know, you're full of shit, you know, because anyone can stand up there and say, just what was the dog off Family Guy's? He had that book, you know.
Brian. I love Brian.
See it, want it, do it, or something like that. You know, it's just, that was his motivational book.
Believe just like achieve, that, aren't they? You know what I mean? Yeah. Believe just, achieve.
In an hour's seminar, you're just going to boil very complex issues of life down to something simple and motivate people. Like, fuck off.
You know what, Dave? It's funny that, because you do think about it. I mean, Tony Robbins, I've listened to him and I've watched some of his things, and he knows what he's doing. He's a very good salesman, I'd say, and he does motivate people, and there's different things that he has, like these like very basic indicators in life, don't he? And people do go to him, so I'm not gonna call him, because in the past I've listened to some of his stuff and all that. But yeah, you always get them stories, these motivational speakers, don't you? Yeah, what happened was, I was living on the street with my dog, fucking little Toto, and I was eating out of bins, and then one day this man come up and give me $5. And that changed my life. $5. And ever since, when I see like a little someone homeless, I give them $5 and go, this could change your life. And everyone stands up going, oh my God, this is amazing. I'll give you $1,000 here. Thank you. Oh, you've changed my life. It's like, fuck off. Believe, achieve. What they do, I love the Dave. And I used to buy into this, so I take it all back. And I know there is an element of truth to it. The fucking grind, Dave. It's more of an American term, isn't it? But it's like, yeah, what time do you get up? 3 a.m. Right. I mean, I get up early for work, so I'm sort of calling myself. But you know what I'm like? Yeah, the grind. Why? Well, I get up 3 hours before my family. Why? Well, I want to read one chapter of a book for an hour, learn something new. Then I go in the gym, then I make my food for the day, then I check my diary, put a suit and have a shower, then I wake the family up and I make them breakfast, and then I'm set for the day. And it's like, fuck off, you know what I mean? And they all do it, Dave. You see them, don't you, on TikTok. And I used to buy into that, so I'm calling myself, but you'd be like, and there is an element to outworking people, you know, it's like us with the podcast. We are always consistent. That's the one thing we try and be, don't we? Be consistent. We never like letting ourselves down. It's just one of them things. It's in our makeup. It's the ADHD makeup, I think, for myself. I do think that. But I do believe that there is some truth to it. You know, people like say, well, why are you doing that? It does. Hard work does pay off, but it's the same script in it all the time. You see these people on TikTok and it's like, yeah, I get up 4 hours before anybody else in the house because I've got all these shows. Mark Wahlberg's the thing. He gets up at 3 a.m. to train and do the grind. But then there is that joke side, and I hold myself accountable for this, Dave, is I'm dead proud of the fact I go on holiday and I'm the one who'll get up and I'm at 7 o'clock. When we go away in a few weeks, I'll be there doing yoga at 7 o'clock. You know full well, Dave, you get me around that pool about 2 p.m, I'm fucking gone. And even now I get up at 4 for work. You get me and I get on that sofa in the afternoon when I finish work, I'm gone, you know, for half an hour or an hour, because you fucked out. And there's that thing, dad gets up at 5 before anybody else in the house. Yeah, 5 at night, he's fucking asleep on the floor drooling because he's fucking knackered, you know what I mean? So I've called everyone out, calling myself out, Dave, but that's the sort of thing with motivational speakers. They do my fucking nutting, honestly.
And you know, you're just saying about kind of influencers as well. Like, I don't know what it is, but just my social media feeds of late, they're just flooded with, like, fucking influencers in public gyms. Oh, you know, I fucking, they set up the camera and stuff, and then someone's like just working out next to them or walks across the camera and they're like, sorry, can you not walk there, please? It's like, fuck off.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a pet hate of mine. It really annoys me. And it's not, to be clear, it's not the fact that, you know, they want to film themselves, you know, working out or whatever. It's that they think they own that space and, like, are basically interfering with other people just there working out. So, yeah, it's really done my head in over the last few months.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm quite lucky because I have my own gym door at home, my cabin and that. But I know that when I went back to training in the gym, I always used to go 24-hour gym early for that reason. Not because I'm doing the grind, Dave. It's because six a day, I believe it's a nightmare now for, like, people. There's some of the gyms near me in Manchester where it's like Influencer City. It is literally, there's cameras everywhere, there's people following them around. They're obviously famous, you know, whoever they are, famous in the fucking heads, I don't know. But if they're paying for videographer and that, they must be something. But I'm just like, fuck off, you know what I mean? It's nonsense. You know,
OnlyFans.
Dave, we'd end up fucking owing them if we did OnlyFans. Chris and Dave's reality cast OnlyFans. Yeah, twerking or something. Look, lads, put it away. Just fuck off. We're not interested, yeah. You're past it now. Just leave it be. Yeah. But, if things wobbling and shaking, that shouldn't be, Dave, if we did OnlyFans.
Fucking beer gut twerking.
What's that, a spare tire? Yeah, I'm a belly dancer. Don't worry, yeah.
But anyway, getting back to maths.
Maths, yeah, we've gone off on one, haven't we?
So another couple has hit rough waters, Chris. So Lucinda and Timothy. I mean, talk about being up and down, not in a good way, but I mean, what do you reckon about how they went throughout the week?
What a strange week for them. So, you know, at the commitment ceremony, they were all like lovey-dovey. We'd seen at the dinner party the week before, the kiss, didn't we? And that seemed to take him over the edge at one point, didn't he? He felt embarrassed. And then some things has come out after the show, which we can sort of understand his makeup. But yeah, the whole homestay thing, I mean... He'd go into his flat, Dave. It was like, he obviously had been filming for weeks. Maybe he was coming home at weekends. You know, we're saying, because we were talking about this, me and you, about the dog thing. I'd never thought about this, but there is that Saturday, Sunday thing, isn't there? So he must be going home. Fuck me, Dave. If he knows he's taking a camera crew and a thingy, at least tidy it up a little bit. He's got a photocopier in there. The dogs are using it as a fuck. I mean, that must be minging, using this, just shitting and pissing everywhere, which is minging. Yeah. It's like, come on. And he just didn't do anything, did he? And Lucinda's trying to make it positive. Yeah, well, it's really lived in and the dogs. And I'm like, Lucinda, just say, it's a shithole and he needs to sort himself out. He's got all his fucking money in that and he's just living this life. He needs a cleaner in there or something. But yeah, but then he stormed off, didn't he? He fucking went, I'm gone. See you later. I've had enough. And that was him sulking them for the rest of the week until we got to the dinner party. But they're not compatible. She deserves more. He's got so many scars and emotional things that have gone on in his life, you know, really bad stuff. Some of it has been brought on by himself, but the family losses and that's been awful. And that's been a key part of his journey. And he's just wild, isn't he? He's just a wild card, Dave. But he's great TV, yeah. But... I love the fact he went and Lucinda's like, yeah, he's fine. He's had a bit of a flare up. No, Lucinda, he's been a cock.
Yeah. That's what he needs, isn't it? And he's even said that. Like, he needs to be called out. But I think, you know, I was softening to this couple. And actually, the way it finished, I don't know, there's that little element of doubt. Maybe there could be something there. But yeah, in the middle, when he's just storming off and stuff, I'll admit, when I was watching it, I was just thinking, oh, you're a fucking dick. you know, just Lucinda just bin him off. And I think she kind of came to that realization as well. It's like, you know, I need, you know, I deserve more than this. Because, like, when when Timothy's mate was saying, oh, yeah, he's really caring and nurturing when he's in a couple, she's like, well, I've not seen fucking anything of that. I'm thinking I've got a theory that, you know, he dates people who are a lot younger typically, so that's why he's fucking nurturing. You know, he's maybe hanging around outside the schools with sweets.
I'm going, Dave. What, for the teachers, hopefully? Yeah,
totally for the teachers. No. Yeah, obviously, I was being silly there. Please don't sue me.
It was Dave. No, but that's true, because I think he's got a thing for Tori.
Yeah,
I really
100%.
Do. 100% he's got a thing for Tori. I do. I think that it's you. I think you said it, and a few people have questioned it. Sam said it. Sam said it all week. She's the last few weeks. She's like, he's got something for him. And the right, I do think he has. I think he's like trying to protect her and sort of say, he's a dick. What are you doing? Sort of thing. Because he said that, I don't hate Tori, you know, and all this. It's Jack. But yeah, I think you're right, Dave. I think Lucinda is, even though she's the same age as him, he's not into people his age, if that makes sense. Because they'll call out his bullshit. Maybe not just from an aesthetic thing, a younger girl and all that. It might be the fact that, like, people around his age have lived life and are like, I'm not putting up with this dickhead, where he can maybe, I'm not saying he does, but maybe he can manipulate a younger person. The lore of him being like this loaded entrepreneur and everything, having his own gin company and all that. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's easy for him to sway somebody by that, the power he potentially has.
Well, I think he's a bit older than us, isn't he? But
yeah,
you know, we've got kids and stuff. You know, you're married. I've been married. So, you know,
I'll put you forward for the next series, Dave. Anyway,
yeah, you've had that kind of that time of cohabiting and raising kids and stuff. So he's had none of that. I think he's gone through life just living that bachelor lifestyle. So, and I think the thing is with his flat, I can't help but feel like that was set up. I mean, you just don't come from, what is it, Sky Apartments or whatever, you know, and then just, you come back and then, well, who's been looking after the dogs, like you say? It's just, and it's in an absolute fucking mess, isn't it? Like, you'd be embarrassed if just, like, the postman came in or something, you know, just it looked like a right mess, and it looked worse than I think it would have been if you'd have just rocked up after being away for a few weeks. But I like I say, when I was watching it, I was just like, oh, just fuck him off. And then after, I was kind of thinking about it, and you know, I was thinking about, you know, yourself, you know yourself better than anyone. And I was thinking, when I'm really low on energy, sometimes I do just need to be on my own. I need to re-energize. I think we talked about it on the ADHD cast, where basically someone was asking me, like, you know, talking about the autism stuff, right? And I was like, fuck off. But they were saying, I was saying, well, that wouldn't make sense for me, because, you know, if I'm at work and stuff, I'm very outgoing, I'm quite happy, you know, in a group setting to get up at a whiteboard and stuff, start sketching things out. And then she was like, but what are you like in the evenings? I'm like, well, I just want to go back to my hotel room and just, like, not talk to anyone and just, you know, have something to eat and maybe a beer. And she said that's masking. So you're pushing yourself out there, you're being all extroverted and stuff, but that's not your kind of natural state. So it's taking a lot more energy for you to do that, and you need to recuperate after. I was like, fucking hell, my whole life's been masking, apparently. But so I was thinking about myself in that situation. I was thinking, maybe he just was, like, so low on energy. And I'm not defending it, because he and I wouldn't be defending myself in that situation where you're just acting like a dick, and you know you're acting like a dick, but you're just so fucking low on energy and grumpy. You just need to be left alone for a bit. And so I was thinking maybe it was that. And the thing is, he should have handled it in a much better way. He should fucking realize that about himself and just say, look, this just isn't working. I do need to be on my own for a bit. And, you know, let's catch up, you know, in a couple of days or something, instead of being just a massive knobhead.
Yeah.
So, but it felt like when he came back for the dinner party, like he had that time to just re-energize a bit, have a hard look at himself, and then, you know, actually apologize for it. And, you know, Lucinda, to be fair, you know, is probably the only person there who accepts the apology and they move on. I think lots of people wouldn't. But yeah, I guess I saw it as more gray than when I watched it the first time.
Yeah, and I think you have a very good breakdown of like him and that as well, because these times there, like, was this when he's gone at like Jack and everything, where I'm sort of like, yeah, this is what I want. You know, he's a straight shooter, blah, blah, blah. But from Lucinda's side, it's just been a really hard slog for her, hasn't it? No matter what. Even she's got, she must have one of the great, unless it's all an act, I don't think it is, one of the greatest levels of tolerance for somebody. You know, patience-wise, he must be up there, Dave, for anybody, you know, to just keep putting up with that. And then you think, all right, like what you said before about, is it like Tim, is it part of the show? I don't think it is. I think she is genuinely wants the best for Timothy, you know, whatever happens. So yes, sad really, Dave, sad, but great TV. And I tell you what, one of the couples who's pissed me off this week, Dave, is Eden and Jaden. And Jaden, you know, he's gone at Sarah, he said, you know, a few things. I don't think he's, you know, completely fucking devoured a thing. The whole let's cheat on your missus while she watched it. Well, let's, you know, I'm going to get you back by letting you watch me sleep with you. That is one of the most bizarre fucking things I've ever heard. And he also stands by that. He will literally die on that hill. Like, there's nothing wrong with that in his eyes. But I think it's exposed Eden a lot, the lying she's done. And I think what she's doing is she's having conversations with Jaden, but these are the conversations where, if, I mean, I've done it, and Sam will tell me off. You know, someone tells you something, you're out in a social thing, Dave. You know, like, say she knows in the years gone by, she might know something, or she's heard whatever, or someone's confided in her. And fucking big mouth here has just brought it up, like, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that. And you can see, look at me, like, so you go, you fucking idiot. You know, one of them. So I know that. I think what's happening is Eden's confiding in him, telling him things, but he's then either using it as a weapon in the commitment ceremonies to speak up, maybe because of what John said about like the guys not holding Jack accountable, or it's just these 5 minutes of fame, but that is creating the distance. However, her dialogue of Sarah will know I can't keep a secret because of everything that's unraveled, because Jaden's obviously threw Eden under the bus, she's got to be held accountable as well, Dave. I don't think she's completely, you know, so I think the pair of them are a pair of dicks, but I did like the way they teed up that Jaden talking to her, and she's like, I just say, yeah, I just agree. And I felt really sorry for her at that point. She looked completely exhausted, didn't she? Like, actually, she did a runner from the homestay. It took her a while to sort of turn up. But I do think, he's so fucking serious, isn't he? So there's something off there. But yeah, great TV, Dave. But I sort of by the end of the week, I did sort of feel sorry for her, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of semi-amusing, but then also it sort of felt slightly abusive as well. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I felt sorry for her, yeah.
Yeah, it was whatever he was saying. I mean, these two aren't compatible either, are they? You know, we thought they were for a few weeks at the start, and things seemed to be going well. But what I can't join up is this story about, you know, plowing your other half's best friend in front of her as revenge.
Fucking
moral warrior who has to call out injustices everywhere with everyone else. It's just bonkers. And it's as if she can't he's not a safe space anymore because you confide in him. And then he just wants to go and blab it, and he wants to go and tackle conflict head on, whereas you can see that that isn't her. And what I said about Timothy and having low energy and stuff, you can kind of see it with Eden as well. She's literally saying, you know, she gets her anxiety gets up, and, you know, she just doesn't want to handle these situations. I do feel like the thing that she said to him about, why don't you make an effort for once or something like that, did sound like it was a bit off. So you do wonder, well, what is she like kind of behind closed doors?
You know?
There is a bit of that. But, yeah, just the fact that they just can't communicate. And certainly Jaden, he's not listening to her. And even though they kind of stepped away, so it's as if he kind of half listens. I tell you who's the biggest knob though, Chris. That fucking Mitch from a couple of seasons ago, his brother. Wouldn't have a woman telling me what to do. Oh, fuck off, you prick.
Well, that's why you're single, you fucking knob, yeah.
Yeah, with your fucking 80s Bros haircut.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Just I thought you came across like an utter prick. And especially, you know, when you found out what happened kind of after the series, he was picked up. He didn't even apply to the show, did he? He was picked up by a talent agency. And so it just, again, I thought he came across the worst. But yeah, unfortunately, I just think that Jaden and Eden, they won't happen as well. They're not compatible. And it just makes me wonder if there are any couples compatible in this thing, Chris.
No, I'm with you. I mean, we didn't really see a lot of Lauren this week, did we? Lauren had her operation. She came back towards the end of the week, but, you know, it was sort of stay. Good old Jono, Dave Jono, you know, as he's now called. Fucking hell, Mr. Personality. But yeah, nothing really to say about them two, to be honest. I know she was at the back end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, the homestays did seem to go all right for them, but I don't really understand why. I'm still not seeing a compatibility with them two.
No.
It's just odd, and it seems like because Jono got the thumbs up from Lauren's mate, she was like, oh, that's great then. Like, let's get right into it. And I don't know, because she'd obviously been ill and stuff, so she'd been out of it for a bit. She kind of got re-energized by that. So she came in with that renewed energy, and she was obviously firing, ready to go for the dinner party, wasn't she? But yeah, they seem to be in a good place. But I think that's the temporary bit. I don't see them being compatible at all. But I did feel sorry for Lauren when she was trying to put out the olive branch to Tori, and Tori was just being a massive bell end. I mean, I don't know. Do we want to go there yet, or do we want to save that to the
end? No, let's have them, Dave. Let's fucking have them. Where do you want to start with these two?
Well, where to start? Jack is a knob, right? But he's consistent. He's consistently a knob. I mean, he brings in his fucking clients as well, doesn't he?
He's weird.
He doesn't seem to have friends, like actual friends.
Shock horror day.
He just has clients because he's such a massive knob. And I'm sure he has long-term clients, which you might call his friends. But again, for me, that's not when you're exchanging money for services, you know, that's not friendship. So I just think it's odd that he doesn't have friends himself, but he is consistently a tool, and you can see that. What I find increasingly infuriating, Chris, is Tori's ability to just ignore everything, which makes me think you're not that dumb. No one is that dumb. No. So you're literally doing everything you can to just stay on screen for as long as you can. And so I can't buy anything that Tori says. She's taken the Bronte game to a different level. What do you reckon?
Well, first thing, Dave, you said Jack's a big knob. Looking at him in them fucking shorts he had in the gym, I don't think he's a big knob, to be honest, Dave.
He's a big knob, but he's not a big knob.
No, I don't think he has. Them shorts were doing him no favours. But No, it was the start of the week. You're right. I mean, John laid into him at the commitment ceremony. He said to him, like, I don't believe anything you're saying. And Jack's like, yeah, well, I sleep really well now. And he went, stop. Don't give me that. And then he's laying it. And then he, like, Tori starts talking shit. And he's like, Tori, are you for real? And she's like, excuse me? Am I for real? And you know what I fucking can't stand about Tori, Dave? And I'm doing it now. Her fucking hands.
I knew you were doing the hands. I'm doing it now.
It fucking annoys me. Nobody can. And I'm doing it now as I'm talking. Nobody, a lot like Rod Hull when he didn't have emu up his fucking, you know, you see Rod Hull emu. Nobody understands the sexual chemistry we've got. Right. So you've got sexual chemistry. You don't hold hands. You don't kiss. You've never had sex. Wow. The chemistry must be off the fucking charts, Dave. They must be literally look at each other and they both fucking explode, Dave. They must do. You know what I mean? It's bull fucking shit. And I think by the end of it, John had given up, because if you watch John and his body language when he says, are you for real? And they're both saying it. And and Jack's just like laughing at him. And, yeah. And you can see, I honestly think that they've got this is, and we called them out for these couples, and I'm really, you can tell the bullshit, but I honestly think the next series, and I'm probably going to be here again in a year saying this, Dave, but I honestly think they're going to try and do a better job of getting people who sort of want to get in a relationship, because they are laughing in John's face, and he turned away again in the end. He turned away and was like, I fucking give up. So go on then. In the end, he just went, so go on then, what's your fucking, you know, your decision? Stay. Wow. What a surprise. And you're right, as the week went on, he met her. I mean, that girl, the client was horrible, the blonde girl. And she's laying into Tori, and Tori's like trying to give it her back. And Tori met a match, and I didn't really feel sorry for her, Dave. You know, I was sort of like, the thing that's stupid, and this is why you know she's lying, this whole thing about she's going to go from Melbourne to fucking where he lives on the Gold Coast, Dave. I know it's a lovely place. I've been to Sydney and that, but I've never been to that. We want to go back at some point. It's a lovely, lovely coastal bit, and I know it is. And it looks amazing. But again, Mr. Control, it's all on his terms. We're not buying any of this. We're not buying that she's going to get with him. They'll never see each other again. He was even saying it, well, if she don't see me for a few weeks, it doesn't really matter. She's... Yeah. I want more. But then he gets the commitment, you know, the dinner parties, everything, and she doubles down on it all, don't she? Like, he's the best thing ever. He's a cock, Dave. He's just a gym guy, and the only thing he's got going for him is his fucking muscles and them fucking tight fucking shorts he's got on. And some people who are superficial will buy into it, and Tori is the biggest faker. So she's my bell end of the week, because as the week went on, it was pissing me off, the fucking hand. And then we get the, oh, I don't want to say anything, but we've had sex. No, you haven't. You fucking liar. Bullshit. You're going to have a nose as big as mine if you carry on, Pinocchio. Fucking go and have a word with Geppetto, because you are not, you've never had sex. Nobody bought it. They knew it was, and Lauren and that called him out. They knew that was the one thing to get that fucking monkey off the back. We've had sex. No, you haven't. So what did you do then, guys? Well, we had sex. Well, let's run us through it. And the hands go, I'm not. I know she didn't do this, but in my head, this is the conversation. She's going, I'm not. And the hands are going, I don't want to say. It's personal between us, because you didn't have fucking sex. It's fucking ridiculous. And I was getting so annoyed by the end of this week, Dave. I'm just like, you know we're going to get there. We just remain friends. They're not together. And we know that. And I've tried to avoid some spoilers. I've seen the odd headline here and there, but I've not really. And we'll do a Where Are They Now thing. I know a lot of people who are listening who are, you know, they may have already watched it if you're in like Australia and that, or you've watched it. But I just cannot stand her, Dave. And like you say, Jack is consistently a fucking little weasel. But that's what you get. He just laughs in the face of everyone, doesn't he? But anyway, I've ranted now, Dave, because I've pissed off with her more than him.
and I think I'm in the same place, because, like I say, he is a knob, and so, you know, it's the fact that we can all see it, and that's where I did feel sorry for Lauren. I did think she was genuinely trying to put out the olive branch.
Yeah.
So I agree with your nomination of the bell end of the week, by the way, but I will give some props to literally say to the whole dinner table, as soon as this experiment's finished, I don't want to see any of you.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny, to be fair. But I just think it is infuriating, because basically Tori is gaslighting all of us. you know.
Yes.
And the thing is, when Jack was saying on the couch, you know, oh, I sleep really well, you can see she's looking at him and saying, come on, mate, fucking meet me halfway here. I'm doing my best to not fucking rip you a new one and just like walk away from this. We need to pretend for at least, you know, a few months after the experiment and like fucking get all the followers we can. We have to pretend that, you know, we're love's young dream and you know, just come on, put a bit of effort in. But he's such a narcissist. I don't think he will meet her halfway. So yeah, I just don't believe anything. I think she is as much of a faker as Ben, as Collins. I think that's the only way I can rationalize it, Chris, because no one is that dumb.
No, and I agree. It's just become like a joke now, hasn't it? And then the final couple, Dave, Ridge and Jade. So a bit of an emotional journey for them. You know, Ridge has said like he's a nurse, isn't he? And that he was talking about like caring for people, it come across really well. And then when we get to like the family stay stuff, you know, with her family, he said like I'd have to come and live with you. I still think there should be that element of what's it called, Dave? Bloody Love is Blind. There's got to be that element of they're all from the same fucking city or something. Yeah, yeah. You know, so there's that believability for us as the audience. So they did Love is Blind, and we had that couple where the guy was, they were in Seattle, and he was about an hour outside Seattle, and that was the, but everyone else was within the city, the football lad. I'm pretty sure none of them is together, but anyway, they may be. But I do think that I want to believe as someone watching it that, right, we're filming this in Sydney. Everybody lives in Sydney. Even if they're bullshitting and they've got some auntie with a postcode and they're like, yeah, live with me auntie or whatever, that's fine. Let us believe it. But the fact you've got, like when we've watched The Bachelor, you've watched, I remember the first series of Love Island America, and America's so fucking big. And they were like 6 hours away, weren't they? The couples, weren't the couple who won it? Yeah. And then they didn't last very long. So I do think that make us believe it's going to be true. So he goes through all this stuff. Because if he's a nurse in that day, he's got to change jobs and he's going to have to move everything. That's not going to be an easy transfer, you know. So we believe in that. She's gone through all this stuff with her family. She's, you know, she's been hurt before. She's a single parent. And he come across really well until we got to the dinner party, Dave, and he started all that these thing. That is the most infuriating thing about this series, probably as much as fucking Tori and her fucking emu fucking fingers. It fucking annoys me. And it just lets himself down, because I think when he's not being a dick and he's got a bit of an audience, he's actually got some maturity about him. But that is just, and we all learn by that. I'm 45 and still look like a bell end at times. But it's just, when you're watching him, I think Jade wants more. And I think she's realizing as this goes on, he isn't the one for her, I don't think. I thought they were dead loved. I don't believe they are. You were right, to be fair. You said it from the start.
I think it's a holiday romance, isn't it? So yes. In a bubble, away from her kid and stuff, away from her daughter, you know, they're having a good fun time. But, you know, you could see it from the mum in particular. She's like, you know, families are hard. And it is, you know, it's not like it's not like being in a fucking holiday romance. So, yeah, I just felt like because they'd been in the bubble, you know, and I was sort of coming round. I was like, oh, you know, they do seem to get on well. And I think they do. But when you introduce the rest of the world, you know, and you put them in that social situation, I think, I don't know if he's intentionally trying to throw out the D's thing. So it's like, oh, what's this? It'll become the catchphrase of Australia. It'll be the new rack off, Chris. You know,
you drongo. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if he's intentionally throwing it out more, but it's like fucking fingernails down a chalkboard. It is so fucking annoying. And he just looks like a knob in like the family setting. You know, he just throwing out this frat boy speak. He just comes across like a right tool. And so I think she can probably see it now. So, you know, with a little bit of prompting by her sister and her mum. So, yeah, again, just another couple that is not compatible in any way at all. I mean, what if you're actually doing the casting for this, Chris, and you meet Ridge, what makes you think, oh, I know what Ridge needs, a fucking single mum?
Yeah, I know.
That's a good pair up, isn't it? So yeah, just nonsense couple.
It is. It's bullshit. But again, Dave, what a great week of maths. Again, you know, I'm itching to get on the podcast and talk to you about it. I just love these absolute, as you would say, Dave, gaggle of bellends. So Tory's won the award. We've brought the award back this week. They're going to double down next week. They're going to commit to each other with them two, 100%. There is going to, I'd be amazed if she's all of a sudden, unless she does a Bronte and goes, well, I don't need him now. Right. For, I don't see it. I think she's committed to the story. And she's one of them people, I think, even though she knows it's a lie, she knows that she's got to see through the whole thing. And this is not letting him off by any stretch of the imagination. He's a complete fucking manipulative fucking head case. And he never says anything nice to her. That he's never, you know, even like, and you never hear the words like emotional, do you? You never hear, but you know, like he's never complimentary. It's all on his terms. This controlling thing is nothing to do with that. This controlling thing is just, he is an utter narcissist. And he thinks his muscles will get him somewhere in life, and it doesn't, Dave. You know, he's working in a gym fucking for, what is it, £20 fucking $20 PT sessions. He's not going to be the next fucking massive fitness model, is he? He's come across really poorly. I just cannot believe that anybody would want to sponsor him or anything out at the back of this. You'd think he'd do a good job of promoting his business, and he's body shamed people. He's been he's disrespectful to women. You know, he's a misogynist. He's just a dick, isn't he? So he's just like Sarah on the other side. They've just come across really poorly. And so's Tory. I hope her family watch this and give her that bit of a kick up the arse she needs. And it's like, why have you even done this? You know, why have you made yourself and lost all your values that hopefully she got values she's grew up with? Because is it really worth it for fucking your 5 minutes of fame? I don't think it is, to be honest.
Well, time will tell, I guess. I mean, I could see him sponsoring something like honey roast ham.
Man bun. Just have
his face right next. In fact, just have his face on the ham. I could see that working quite well. Wouldn't have to really colour it in or anything. So.
And this isn't being like, I'm not saying I'm the oil painting. I just think Tory, she's a pretty looking girl, and she's down on herself, and he thinks he looks like Brad Pitt, or he looks like, you know, I don't know, Chris Hemsworth. So he thinks he is chiseled out of fucking gold or something, and he's not. He's chiseled out of fucking aluminium, Dave. You know what I mean? He's not even good looking, and that's not being horrible or anything. I just think his stock is in his body, and I just think you've got no personality. You're really disrespectful. Be nice. If he was a nice person, I think like he's got so much going for him. But this, like the way he is, he's just I've never. There's many people we've watched on these shows, and he's just a very, very strange person. And he needs someone to give him a proper like reality check. And I just don't think he's got the network. And that might be why he's not got a family around him, Dave. Maybe they're sick of him, and all he's got is these weirdo clients. You know what I mean? So I just don't get it.
Yeah, but going into the last week, Chris, I can't wait. I think it's brilliant. The last week. There can't be too many episodes.
He's got a bit. I think it's the last full week of the experiment, and then we'll probably get the reunions. We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, off podcast? But good stuff, mate. And thank you for this week. And thanks to everyone listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. If you do get a chance, please drop us a review on the podcast for myself and Dave. We just really love reading them out. Good, bad, the ugly, it doesn't matter. We just love anybody who takes the time to review what we do. If you do want to support us, please go over to patreon.com/CD Reality Cast, and also Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. So please come over there. Big thanks to Charlene, as always, for moderating over on Facebook. And there's plenty of links for the shows. If you are outside the UK, we do have a NordVPN link within the show notes as well, which will get you if you want to watch this on the E4 player, or if you're watching Love Island ITVX. Please have a look over there. So today's roll call of honor, and a massive thank you to Stacey, Sinead, Jesse, Kathleen, Sims, Andrea, Nick, Danielle, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Fiona, Cassie, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Libby, Dee Dee, Susan, Hennessy, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Ken Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. It's absolutely amazing stuff. And we go, Dave, yet again into another final week of maths.
I can't wait. And so thank you very much, sir. It's been good therapy. to kind of unload and talk about this, like you say, gaggle of bell ends. But thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.